You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick.
But it ain't gonna be easy. You gotta call in on the old blower.
And Matty Rose.
It drives me nuts. It drives me freaking nuts, George.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number two. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Bottom of the hour, Sam Cosentino, NHL on Sportsnet. Ask him about Tiija Ginla doing okay for Team Canada right now. Just a hat trick, big deal. NBD.
He's got 8 points in three games. Flames playing against guys who are 2 years older than him.
Flames fans just waking up in the middle of the night going, draft Tiija! Oh, and by the way, that's coming up in what? Less than 2 weeks, the draft lottery. They announced it. What is it, May 10th?
May the
7th.
Seventh. Okay, all right. That's exciting.
5%. 5%.
Why not?
I thought it was 6, but it turned out it was 5.
Yeah, that's fine. Is it really that much of a difference?
Well, I don't know.
Probably like two balls. And it's so convoluted how they actually do it. Like, there's all these numbers you get assigned. It's all crazy. But, yeah, that's coming up.
The Kraken way to pass it. What was
it? So that's exciting. And we'll talk to Julian McKenzie at 8 o'clock. Get his take on the Wranglers off to the second round of the American Hockey League playoffs. They'll take on Coachella Valley, an Olympic champion. He used to be the fastest man on the planet, Donovan Bailey, in studio. That's kind of cool, being the fastest man in the world.
That's not a bad thing.
So we talked about field hockey. Uh-huh. Here's a penalty corner I'm showing you right now on YouTube.
Okay.
Watch. So they take the penalty corner. Yeah. They score, whatever, great. And then, like, they start taking off their equipment because they're wearing, like, gloves and masks and stuff. See? And then they just take it off.
Yeah.
Right when they're done. And they get all mad when they get scored on.
Well, yeah. It's sports.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, we got to take off our equipment now we put on for this specific penalty shootout.
It's like baseball. When you're going to run the bases.
You got that little mitt.
My mitt.
Yeah.
My helmet.
Yeah. Wanted to ask you.
That would be annoying, though.
Yeah, it would be. There's a lot of players who potentially could be playing their final games here with their current clubs.
Uh-huh.
Especially with unrestricted free agency heading this summer. Clearly, Sam Reinhardt is the bell of the ball.
Sure.
When it comes to UFAs. I would imagine he stays in Florida, I would think. Because to me, Stamkos to Utah makes a lot of sense, and I just thought of that off the top of my head. But at the same time, if he doesn't stay in Tampa,
a lot of sense is a little liberal, but
sure,
it wouldn't be jarring.
Yeah. So when looking at other UFAs, because what did the management team of this team, the Calgary Flames, say that they kind of wanted to bring in some help
mm-hmm.
for Jonathan Huberdeau?
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna give you a name.
Okay.
If this makes any sense to you.
Okay.
If he doesn't stay with his current team, because he could be playing two more games and he's done. What about a Jonathan Marchessault? Does that make any sense to you?
Yes. Like,
Because that's an interesting name. If he doesn't stay in Vegas, it could be a Riley Smith thing for them. They're like, hey, thanks. Thanks for being a great Golden Knight. Bye. We can't afford you anymore. Would that be a guy that potentially could come in here and help Jonathan Huberdeau out? Because I don't think that's a name we've talked enough about, and the guy's got a lot of pedigree,
uh-huh.
big-time playoff performer, been a consistent goal scorer.
He's French.
Could bring some leadership here.
Yeah.
Right? Show the young guys. Does that make any sense to you?
It does. I just, I think it does get back to the question of, is this what Marchessault would want? You know, if you're going into free agency and you're bringing a guy like that up here, you're probably going to have to pay a little bit more for him. You're going to have to give him a little bit more term. He's already 33 years old. He's obviously a proven player this year. You hit, what, 40 goals, 41, I think he had, and won the Conn Smythe last year.
Yep.
You know, an outstanding Stanley Cup final really helped him kind of secure that. He's an outstanding player. I could see it. I think that's someone that the Flames would probably have on their list. I also think that there's a little bit more of a focus on fixing up this blue line after they traded away three bona fide NHLers this season. But If you want to go out and spend a little bit in free agency, I could see it. I would say it's very unlikely because I also feel like Marchessault is a guy who has got used to winning and might want to pick a spot where he feels like he's quite close to winning. You know, the same way that Andre Palat went to New Jersey. Like, I feel like that Devils team is a lot closer. If you want to talk to me about, like, a Red Wings team, maybe if they don't bring Patrick Kane back or something along those lines.
What about,
like,
the Senators?
What about your Habs?
Sure.
As they start to take another couple of steps.
I've seen on Habs Twitter that they think they're getting Stamkos.
Oh, well.
I'm like, calm down.
Everybody should probably try.
And the Habs probably, they shouldn't go get Stamkos. Don't do that. Like, just stick with the young guys. Give the young guys all the ice time. And even be bad this next year.
The young guys all the ice time. Like,
They'll be fighting for a playoff spot next year. They're a one-line team. Yeah.
So if you want to go and get some actual guys to play on your second line, then by all means.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good places that Marchessault could fit. Like, he feels like a guy that fits into any locker room and helps your team win. He scores goals. He scores goals in big moments. He plays a lot of games. Like, there's a lot to like there. But the question would be, what are you signing yourself up for? What is the contract going to look like?
Who would you trust more in free agency if you're a team, Marchessault or Jake Guentzel? Me, it's Marchessault.
Man, they're pretty close for me. I'd probably flip a coin.
Mm.
I think they're very similar players. They're not the biggest guys. They both play the wing. One's four years younger. They're more known for their scoring. Gensel's 4 years younger, 29 then. Yep. Yeah, he's obviously not 37. So
33, Marchessault.
Yeah, Marchessault 33, and then Guentzel 30, they're 29. In that sense, I would probably go Guentzel. But obviously, Marchessault has had a little bit more of an impact to this point. But I don't know. Is there a possibility that Guentzel ends up being the guy for the Carolina Hurricanes this year? Because they don't necessarily have the star that's going to set them apart, much like Vegas last year?
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. I could see a path to that. So he's been really good in Carolina. Honestly, they're both great players, and they both make your team a lot better when you have them. Sidney Crosby missed having Jake Guentzel.
Yeah. Would Dylan DeMello or Brett Pesce be a guy that you think potentially the Flames would target?
Very much so. Pesce more so than DeMello. I like a lot of what DeMello brings, but I feel like the way that he's kind of ascended in the last year or two makes me a little wary. He was always kind of like a 5-6 guy for me and has kind of gotten out and turned into a solid top four guy for the Winnipeg Jets here. But Pesci's a little bit more of what I would be looking for as far as what you want in this blue line, a little bit more of a guy who just checks, you know, like a Tanev.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Pesce is when I kind of think about his game.
How expensive is Brandon Montour going to be?
So expensive. So expensive. Like Hanifin money? 7.25 if he signs in a tax-free state, that type of thing. I also think they really like him in Florida. He threw a couple of huge hits in that game yesterday, took one as well. And it was actually a pretty goon play. But he's one of those heartbeat guys. Like him and Mackenzie Weegar, there are some similarities there. I think Montour can be a little bit more physical from time to time. But when I look at their offensive game, the way that they interact with it, I think that they kind of produce similarly if they don't necessarily do it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what Brandon Montour does a lot. And I think that he's a guy that he's probably going to go to some sort of a contender because he's turned himself into a bona fide, I don't know if you'd say top pair on every team type of player, but someone that you're very comfortable in your top four, 20-plus minutes a night. No problem. Both sides of the power play if you want him. Like, he's passed Ekblad as either their best defenseman or their second best defenseman behind Gustav Forsling.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good team. And he's a big part of it.
Got a text, and I think this makes a lot of sense. I don't think we should continue to try to justify the sunken cost that is Jonathan Huberdeau. Don't make any more mistakes to try to justify the first one. I think that's a great point. It's like we've given this guy two seasons, every opportunity to succeed, playing with essentially everybody on the roster for the last 2 years to try to get things to click. Who's to say if you bring in a guy like Marchessault or a guy like Duclair, the who you love, who knows if he's going to leave Tampa now, but a guy that can he's had some success with in the past that he can play. Maybe it is just a sunken cost. Is it smart to do that, to go out there and acquire somebody to help him out? But at the same time, they literally said on Locker Cleanout Day, we want to bring in somebody to potentially help him out and maximize what they have in Jonathan Huberto.
Well, yeah, like I think that there's a lot of onus on the player to make sure that he's changing things up and kind of having a different tact this year. Like, I loved what Husk said as far as like, hey, you tried some things. All you can do this year is just get as good
yoked
shape as you could possibly can and just outwork everybody. Because if you're not going to be putting, if you're going to be putting up 55 to 60 points, you're going to have to be bigger because you're going to have to play some harder minutes down the line a little bit. Because you're not going to be on the top line if that's how you're going to be producing. Now, the other half of that is, does he come back and he actually start producing if he's in, I'm not going to say better shape because I don't think he's in bad shape, but if he's in tip-top shape, perhaps, maybe it is a little bit different. But I think that there's a little bit of a difference between, you know, trading a whole bunch of assets to go and get Anthony Duclair versus getting him in the free agent market, right?
Mm-hmm.
Using him as a particular example. I think that this is a team that should spend young prospects or relatively high picks to go get somebody that they think is going to fix Jonathan Huberto? No, I don't think they should do that. But if there's a way, via free agency, via a lesser trade, maybe a mid to late round pick, maybe a B to C level prospect that you think can bring somebody in that's definitely going to help with Jonathan Huberto, then I would explore it at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand what the texter is saying, but I also think that there's 6-7 more years on this deal.
Oof.
Like, I see where they're coming from, but it's a little bit early to just say sunk cost, eat it for the rest of the way. Like, I think you still have to try and do a couple more things to make it work.
We don't know where the lottery balls are going to fall here in just over a week's time.
For the NHL spinning draft lottery. I have not seen the Flames.
But should the Flames do an NFL-style trade in the first round and maybe move up one or two spots to draft you-know-who here in the first round? You know who we can ask next? Sammy Cosentino, that question.
We can. Depends on what it would cost to move up. Because there's a lot of good players that are still going to be available if TJ's gone.
But also the Flames have a ton of assets here that they could potentially part with.
A ton?
They have that Vancouver first round pick.
I'd rather have that pick.
How many seconds do they have too?
One extra.
Okay.
What's it going to cost you to move up?
This is something we can ask Sam Cosentino.
Probably going to cost you, what, at least your second to move up a handful of picks? Like, I don't know. I think what happens...
We usually don't see that a lot in the NHL draft.
And the other thing, too, is if you move up and get him, it's already... Like, if you get a Ginla, there's already a ton of pressure on him. If you move up to draft him, that just amplifies it. Like, I think if he gets there, he gets there. And if he doesn't, you're really happy with a lot of the other choices there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a defenseman or whether you go with one of the forwards who are going to be left over.
This is what we'll be talking about for the next, until the NHL draft here. Because
basically
keeps,
2 months exactly.
He keeps impressing.
Well, of course.
It just feels like it's such a slam dunk home run for this organization. You draft a defensive prospect because this draft is what we've been told. Deep on the blue line, but if you have a chance to draft a guy who potentially could be a game breaker for you and a big time goal scorer.
Yeah, but there's other guys around him who could be like that too.
Sure.
So, yeah, it'd be great, but I don't know. I don't like feeding that beast. I don't think it's fair to the player.
But maybe he embraces it and he hits it out of the park.
Yeah.
There's that side of the coin too.
Fine. But when it happens, it'll happen.
Yeah,
I don't love just making all of this draft about a Ginla, because the other thing, too, is if they don't get him, then everyone's going to be like, oh, they didn't get a Ginla, and they're going to have a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like, oh, this guy's not the same. And it's like, They got a good player. So there's two tacks to this that I just don't feel like just pounding the drum for T.J. Gillen. I just don't think it's the right thing to do. It would be great.
Yep.
But it has to happen organically. Don't force it.
We'll ask Sam Cosentino those questions next, and we'll talk to Julian McKenzie at 8 o'clock. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Top of the hour, our man, Julian McKenzie, covers the Flames for The Athletic. Also, you hear him on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, on Sportsnet Today. That's always awesome.
Yep.
Donuts.
Huh?
Oilers Donuts in Calgary.
What?
Yeah. We'll discuss that later. Oilers Donuts in Calgary. We will discuss that later.
Once again, suits in Toronto making decisions for Albertans. Unbelievable.
But right now, analyst for Sportsnet.
Speaking of suits in Toronto.
At the Alice Pizza Sports Bar guest hotline, our man, Sammy Cosentino. Hello, sir. How are you?
Suits in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the donuts maybe, but a suit, no. I'm all boiler and sweatpants right now.
Okay, well let's hear
from you, buddy.
Well, let's get into this now. Do you know they're selling Oilers donuts in Calgary? Like, that's blasphemy.
Listen, if you've seen it's a pizza commercial, right? Mm-hmm. And they talk about, we got to change it up. Canadian team hasn't won in 30 years. We got to get used to cheering for the people we don't normally cheer for. So I'm not going to throw that one completely to the birds, but my goodness, can the Canadian team please stand up here? I guess, yeah. We're looking at Vancouver and good on Edmonton, for squeaking one out there the other day. But I guess what I'm saying is it's pretty bleak in the eastern part of the country.
What's worse, Oilers donuts in the city of Calgary, or when they lit up the CN Tower in Montreal Canadiens colors when they advanced to the Stanley Cup final?
I'm going to go donuts because it's more lasting.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You go to your local donut shop and there's Oilers donuts staring at you. It's crazy in this city. Sammy, wanted to ask you, T.J. Ginla, I don't know. I think you've heard of him. He's kind of lighting it up at the under-18s right now. If you're a Flames fan, how much are you just salivating right now? And we had the discussion before you jumped on. Is this an instance where we don't know where the draft lottery, how it's going to play out here, but if he's in the range where the Flames have to jump up one, two, maybe three spots, is that something potentially they should do? And what would that cost?
Wow. So that's an unbelievable scenario that's playing out, and I've had a couple of conversations with Eric Francis lately about it. But if you're a Calgary Flames fan, I think you're projected to pick ninth right now. You're calling T.J. Ginla, and you're like, dude, slow it down, slow it down. We don't need you getting any further ahead here. We need you to be able to fit in that nine hole. And honestly, though, I was talking to Jason Buchla. He's over there right now, and he's watching. And he ran into Teach the other day, and he's just so impressed by the young man. We met him in January in Moncton, and we'll have another meeting with him again at the Combine coming up here in Buffalo next month. But as impressed as you are by his play, to speak to the young man, it's awesome because he's like, he's full of confidence, but he's not cocky or arrogant, and I love that. And that's probably just taking cues from his dad. I never covered Jerome at all, but I think being the son of a very successful hockey player has given him that confidence, but he's also humble, and I love that about him. And I like the fact that he's candid, he's willing to ask questions and engage in conversation. You don't see that a lot. Usually the interview process we have is very one-sided. It's me and Book sit in the room and are asking these guys questions, and they're answering, and that's kind of it. But, with TJ, there was some exchanges that went back and forth, and that tells me a lot about the young man. So, trying to – I think we can all see now what kind of player he is. And I think he's a guy that's definitely, I had him at 10 on my last list. I don't know, guys. I think he's probably, he's going to start to enter the conversation right around number five, the way it's going right now. Wow. And so if you're Calgary, you're like, dude, shut it down a little bit. Just shut it down.
What would that cost, Sammy? Because I know in the NFL draft, to move up two spots in the first round, it's a king's ransom in football. And obviously it's a lot easier to draft in football. You know a lot more of the player. But this is a guy that this could be franchise changing for the Calgary Flames. Just that name alone. What does that mean for jersey sales? And it's just the stuff that's outside of the performance on the ice. What does that cost in today's league to jump up, you know, three spots potentially, four spots potentially to draft this kid? What would that cost Craig Conroy?
It'll cost Calgary a heck of a lot more than everybody else, because everybody knows that. They know how important that would be to the franchise. Now, you know, the one thing that I guess is an unknown, and, you know, I suppose at some point the backroom conversations with Jerome will, you know, whether he will want that to happen for his son. But I always have the mentality that hockey players are hockey players, and kind of whatever happens, you just deal with it. In this situation where you may have some element of control over it, you know, if Jerome's given the opportunity, would he want that for his son? Would he leave that entirely up to his son? Is that a family decision? Is that something that, he and Craig Conroy would even have discussions about? You know, the one thing that I'm, you know, like, you're sitting in the front office, you're seeing all these scouts write reports. You know, if you're Jerome, have you been privy to those reports? Do you want to be privy to those reports? Do you want to see what's being said about your kids? So a lot of those backroom questions have to be answered. But from guys like you and I looking inwardly at it, you're saying, wow, like, this is a home run in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. For all that you say, more jersey sales, the appearances that they could make publicly, the two of them, on behalf of the Flames. And that's not even talking about how good the player is and what he might do with an influx of his energy, his goal-scoring ability, that sort of thing. So, unfortunately for the Calgary Flames, like, you'd love to have this thing fall right in your lap where you bump up a couple of spots in the lottery and now you're in a real comfortable spot, because if you have to buy to get there, it's going to cost you a lot, and that's going to give, I think, Craig Conroy a lot of concern for pause there. And again, it might even be a situation where the family decides that maybe that's not the best thing for Teague, but I kind of think the other way.
Yeah, and that'll be fascinating to see. And everyone's obviously getting kind of caught up in all of the hype around him. He's a good player. He's flown up the draft boards this season. But if he's gone when the Flames go to pick, I imagine there's going to be some people who are disappointed, but why should they not be disappointed? Who are some other players that are going to be there at 8, 9, 10 if Teague ends up going in the top 5, 6, 7?
Oh, man, there's going to be – there will be a number of options for them at that spot. You know, like, you look at the recent influx of Russian players that were acquired in trade. You're seeing now players like yesterday, Toronto Maple Leafs signed a player – out of the KHL. I think Colorado had Kovalenko in their lineup the other day. I think he spent the year in the KHL. I think there's more of an open pathway for Russian and Belarusian hockey players to come over here. And whether you agree with that or not, the fact of the matter is, from a pure on-ice perspective, they're really, really good players. And so I'm looking at a couple of guys, Anton Salyev, who I have much higher ranked. Is there going to be some risk in taking that player from the teams above the Flames? 6'7" defenseman, you know, moves extremely well, might be able to be a second power play guy. I'm looking at Ivan Demidov, who I believe is the next best forward in this draft after Max Celebrini. But again, there is some reason for concern there, because he only really played against MHL competition this year. And the other fact of the matter is, are you worried again about the geopolitical stuff? If you're not concerned about those things and he's available where the Flames may pick past that, you know, in that 8 to 10 range, you'd be all over him. Having said that, with those two players, if the teams that aren't afraid to pick Russian players have picked those two guys ahead, now you're looking at maybe a Zane Parekh, who's an all-world Erik Karlsson type defenseman who's playing in Sedona. You're looking at Berkeley Catton, who had 50 goals and 100-plus points with the Spokane Chiefs last year as a 17-year-old in this draft year, which is a very, very rare thing to happen in the Western Hockey League. So, you know, those would be the names that I'd be looking at there. I don't think Sam Dickinson of London falls that far, but I do think there are going to be a number of options at a number of positions for the Flames inside of 10.
Can you tell us a little bit about Carter Yakimchuk and where you believe he might go in the draft?
Bit of a wild card, but, you know, big right shot defenseman who plays with a little bite, you know, had 80 or 90 pims this year. Obviously, his goal-scoring prowess really sticks out. He's a guy that's likely to be in that range for the Flames as well. And when you have someone who's that close to the organization, and if Tiege is gone, he might end up being a really, really good fit there. So, you know, you like the size, you like the skating ability, you like the bite, you like the goal-scoring ability. I think people would like to see maybe a little bit more from his off-puck play and a little bit more from the defensive side of the game. But I do believe, like, with the skill set he has, you can manage that to the point where the D side, if you're playing with some edge, you know, and you better learn to use your body and stick positioning, then you're going to have an opportunity, you know, to sit inside of a top four, I believe.
Kind of talked about it earlier, but the U18s are on the go over in Finland right now. Canada will look to finish round robin undefeated when they play Kazakhstan later today. Had a Zamboni issue actually over there today for some of the round robin games. But two-parter, one, how jealous are you of our boy Books over there covering boots on the ground? And B, how impressive is what Gavin McKenna is doing as a 16-year-old?
Well, I'll start with Books. As I'm talking to him yesterday, and he's yelling out his beer order from the street. I'm like, dude, you got it going on right now. So then, I guess his day of work was done. He's like, yeah, I'll take that lager. I'm like, what is going on here? So, anyways, yeah, I'm more jealous because I love sitting with him and watching games. I learned so much. His eye is just fantastic, and he sometimes can point out the obvious in a way in which you wouldn't think about it. So to have his expertise in doing the job is, you know, I'm lucky to have that. And we just love hanging out together and shooting the breeze. So that part I'm jealous of for sure. But getting to experience Finland, I've never been there. I hear it's fantastic. Jealous of that part too. And maybe more jealous of being able to watch the hockey and just kind of be totally engaged in it day after day. But this McKenna guy, like, oh my gosh, seriously? like, this guy, he's unbelievable. It's funny because Porter Martone, he's a late birthday guy. He's in next year's draft too. Like, these two youngsters have been sensational for Canada. But McKenna, he's next level, man. Like, what a player.
What is there any comparison you would draw right now?
Oh, you know what? Not off the top of my head, but like a super dynamic player, skater, is able to evade defenders both wide and with his hands and creativity, come to the middle of the ice. Like he's really gifted, man. Holy geez, to think that he's doing it as essentially a double under is crazy. It's crazy. So we're gonna see a lot more of him, obviously, with Medicine Hat next year, and you know that. Lindstrom, Mrsic, I think the Tigers are going to be well-positioned to do some damage next year. A little bit of a disappointing first-round loss this year, but I think they're well-positioned to do some damage next year, and McKenna's going to be a huge part of it.
Sportsnet analyst Sam Cosentino joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. We had this conversation earlier on in the program. I want to get your thoughts on it. What is the second best league in the world? Is it the KHL? Is it the Swedish Elite League? Is it the American Hockey League? Which one is it, Sammy Cos?
Well, I you know, we're going to look at it through a National Hockey League lens. So I guess at that point you have to say it's the American Hockey League because that's what is the closest assimilation to the National Hockey League game. But I think if you're just talking about pure talent, like which league is filled with more talent, I think the KHL would be the answer to that.
If they play, would it depend on which ice surface they played on? If like the top team in the A played the top team in the K?
It's funny because I would love to see how that roster would be composed.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you have enough of your grumpy old men where you can fill your, you know what I mean? Like your, 10 through 12 forwards would be grumpy old men, and you're probably 5-6 or 6-7-8D or 5-6-7D would be the grumpy old men who've been around a long time and could bruise and batter you. And if you use like the Maverick Borks of the world and some of those younger AHL stars that are on the rise, you know, the Coronados, those type of guys, it would be interesting to see how that roster would be composed. I don't think ice surface would matter, but it would actually be a pretty good exercise to see how that would play out. But I don't think we're anywhere near that with the geopolitical situation we're in.
Sammy, looking at the Stanley Cup playoffs, which coach has done a better job, Rick Bowness or Sheldon Keefe so far?
Ooh. What do I say about that? Like, so for me, I think Bowness has done the better job in that there's been such a goaltending breakdown, and they've actually had a couple of leads early in the series. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Georgia's tie goes to the runner, I think. But, I mean, both teams had huge expectations going. It's funny. So I was at the NHL Network this weekend, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking with EJ Raddick last night. And I'm one who said, oh, yeah, Toronto is better able to match up against Boston than Florida. And EJ, who looks at it from, you know, his different lens, being American and everything, says, well, okay, let's just stop what you're saying for a sec. I don't understand why all these people think that. So let's break down the positions. Goalie, who's better? I don't think there's any question that Boston, right, both of Boston's goalies are probably better than the three that Toronto have. Okay. Defensively, Boston checks that mark over Toronto's. Mm-hmm. Forwards, okay, you might give a slight edge to Toronto in that department, okay? But that was mitigated when Nylander missed the first couple of games of the series and Matthews being sick. And then you look at culture, and I think that's a pretty clear Boston win there.
Special teams hasn't even been close.
So really, when you look at it like that, you're like, okay, I guess I was fooled because I live in the market and I thought the additions of Bertuzzi and Domi and Riggs would allow them to play a different style of game in the playoffs, yet the big guys could still go out and do their thing. And kind of none of that has happened. And from a Winnipeg perspective, you know, they got to realize pretty quickly here that you can't play track meet hockey with Colorado. You can't. You cannot do it. You got to play slow, ugly, patient, defensive style of game in order to beat that team. And that might not even be good enough. And the way Hellebuck's playing right now and what he's given up, I know it's not all his fault. Some of it's systematic for sure. Turnovers, that sort of thing. But my goodness, I had higher hopes for Winnipeg than I did Boston. I thought than I did Toronto. I thought both teams would advance to the second round, though, and it looks like neither one of those two will.
What happens first? Sheldon Keefe gets let go or Mitch Marner gets traded?
Oh, I think Keefe will be, if this is done tonight, then by the end of the week, I think Keefe's gone. The Marner thing's it's much more difficult to do. It might happen fairly quickly, but it's a much more difficult thing to do when you're talking about moving that kind of money. And you're talking about, at least at this point in time, trading a depreciated asset. That wouldn't be wise for Toronto to go and do that now. Mm. And who knows? Like, I think 8 years of this, and again, it's not over, but it's kind of over. 8 years of this, there's got to be a lot of lessons learned here. So if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs and I lose tonight, I'm looking over my shoulder beginning at midnight because I think everybody from top to bottom is going to be concerned about their jobs.
What happens with Steven Stamkos this offseason, Sammy?
He goes back to Florida. He probably goes back on like a
to the
a
Panthers?
Three-year...
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be incredible. Oh, what a heel turn. Right in my veins.
Heel turn.
Chaos.
Heel turn.
That's very WWE.
Yeah.
I think he goes back to Tampa. I wouldn't want to see it any other way. And B, because of the tax breaks, like let's say Toronto wants to sign him for 3 years at $6 million. Well, you can go get the same thing pretty much in Tampa at 3 years at 4.5 or 4.8 or whatever, you know. I think he's established there. He likes it there. I do think that the club wants him back. I think probably at the start of the year, there were some question marks about whether he was going to be able to be healthy and effective. And I think somewhere in a, you know, a 3-year, $5 million range would be probably the offer that goes his way. And if Stammer feels he can get more in the free agent market and it's that important to him to maximize his final few years, then out he will be. But I don't see it, and I don't want to see it. I want to see him end his career as a one-team guy. And I think that Tampa should take that into strong consideration.
NHL analyst for Sportsnet, Sam Cosentino on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Sammy Cos, always good stuff. Thanks for this, pal.
Okay, guys, we'll get your donuts.
Yep, those Oilers donuts, blasphemy in the city of Calgary. Thanks for this, pal.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, Oilers donut. Look at that in Calgary. Oilers donuts. Yeah. Seriously.
Great, excellent. So good. Canada's team. Yeah.
Like, but I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Once again, I just don't think somebody who's lives in this city made that decision.
Sure. Straight ahead, Julian McKenzie covers the Flames for The Athletic. He's had an eye on the Wranglers.
But then again, a lot of people from Edmonton do move here. So
sure. They escape Edmonton.
Yeah, sorry. Escape.
Julian McKenzie covers the Flames for The Athletic. You hear him on Sportsnet today with Logan Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
He'll join us next. Our intern Gregor is going to have you hyped up for the Paris Olympics coming up.
Wonder what he's going to pick.
And Olympic champion Donovan Bailey in studio at 8:30. Pretty good 8 o'clock hour coming up. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan.